Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
April 25th, 2006, the Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, finding your photographer's vision. Welcome back to another show. I've got a special treat for you today. I have an interview with a photographer, an Adobe evangelist. Her name is Julianne Koss, and she's fabulous. You may have seen her before and not really realized it. She spent years and years on the road for Adobe, evangelizing Photoshop. She's one of the most talented Photoshop people I've ever met. You know, she's one of those people where you go to one of her workshops. I've been to three or four of them over the years. You go to one of her workshops and you're sitting there in the audience and she's saying, okay, and now you do this and you just click on this and you do that and it turns out this way and you're going, oh my gosh, that looks so easy. And then you go home, of course, and you go, what did she do? Oh, and then, you know, so then you have to look it up or sign up for another workshop or whatever. So she's one of those people that can just make something difficult, such as Photoshop, look so easy. The thing I didn't know about Julianne until really about a year ago is that she's also a great photographer. And she's done a book for O'Reilly Media called Window Seat. And it really comes out of all these years of traveling for Adobe doing these workshops. As I find out, she doesn't like to fly. She actually has a fear of flying. And so she started this photo project to help take her mind off flying and to help her, you know, enjoy the experience a little bit more. And as it turned out, all that downtime, all that time that she felt like she was wasting while she was waiting in airports and doing all this sort of stuff has actually turned into this magnificent project, this book filled with beautiful pictures that you can buy right now on Amazon.com or O'Reilly.com. So what I'm going to talk to Julianne about today is really finding your photographer's vision, how she evolved from someone who really liked to take pictures to someone who's known as a photographer now, and how that process happened. And ironically enough, it came out of this whole thing of, you know, being stuck on airplanes week after week and making the best of a bad situation. So I'm going to turn it over now to Julianne. We're going to talk a little bit, and then I'll come back and wrap up. I'm talking with Julianne Koss, the author of Window Seat, which is a fabulous book on basically aerial photography in the, if we want to go the generic sense, but over a series of flights, over many, many flights, she started this project where she took pictures through the window of airplanes as she was flying to all sorts of places for work. And it's a fabulous book. And the other thing that I really like about the book, aside from the images themselves, are in the back of the book, she talks a little bit about technique. So I wanted to talk with Julianne a little bit about all of this, and I had listened to her talk about inspiration, actually at Macworld, I believe, you were talking about that, and it really caught my ear because I thought, you know, I think you've really sort of honed in on something here that that can help a lot of photographers. So what I'd like to talk about today is a little bit about how focusing on a project has changed you as a photographer, and a little bit about, you know, some of your views about the importance of that. So welcome aboard. And first of all, just kind of frame for us a little bit about the Window Seat project and how it began.
Well, it began about, I want to say over 5 years ago. And that to me in itself is rather startling, just because I 5 years ago would not have thought, I want to do a long-term project. Because to me, 5 years seems like a long-term in comparison to what a lot of people spend maybe a month doing a project or 2 months. But I have so enjoyed taking images on one subject matter. I know for some that might seem boring, but for me, the subject matter was constantly evolving and changing, and I could see myself actually progressing and getting better and really limiting the number of shots that I was taking, just because I'd be like, no, you know what, I have that great shot of the silhouette of the cloud. Now, what else can I find up there? So if anything, it actually made me look harder over the duration of the project, because the I'll call them the easy shots were already taken. The simple shots, the ones that you think, oh, well, you look out and there's the horizon. I'd already taken that, so I had to look for something a little bit deeper.
Now, when did you realize that you had a project here and not just a bunch of shots of clouds through an airplane window?
Well, that took a little while. Definitely, because I did start off just shooting the images. I'll say for fun, really, it was because I was afraid of flying, and that kind of stepped me away and made me a little bit removed from the scene. But you kind of know, or at least I kind of knew after a year, you know, I thought, wow, you know, I have a dozen or so great shots here that I really like. And then after 2 years and 3 years, I was like, wow, you know, maybe I could show these somewhere. I could have a gallery opening or something. And then, you know, I just enjoyed taking them so much that it just kept growing and growing. Now, I will say that there's a significant number of images in the window seat book, but it, of course, is not nearly the number of images that I actually shot. So I'd say there's, 150 images in the book, maybe? And over a course of 5+ years, I took at least 3,000 images, if not more, on all of these different flights. So I think just the process of having a personal project that spans for so long, you can see yourself actually grow over time with the images that you take.
I think this is something that a lot of people who aren't deep into photography don't understand, that every shot we take isn't a great shot. Even if you're a fabulous photographer, every shot you take isn't great, isn't perfect. It becomes part of the mix. It may be up at the top of the pecking order at one point in the project, and then you get a bunch of other shots, and then suddenly it starts to slide down. And then there's also the thing is, well, it's the latest shot I took, so it's my new favorite, right? But then after a while, after you sort of grow accustomed to it, you go, you know, really, these other shots are a little bit stronger. That whole juggling process is fascinating, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You're so right. Sometimes, you know, it's the most current image that just becomes like, oh, that is so my favorite. And to me, the most fascinating part of the project, well, first of all, I have to say that doing your own personal project is not always easy, because you don't always get the response from your friends, your peers, your families that you're expecting. You know, you come home from a trip and you say, hey, I want to show you some great images. And they're like, ugh, clouds again? I'm like, no, don't look at it like that. You know, this is what I want to do. So I think it was very fortunate that I was never discouraged by that. You know, I don't care. You know, whatever your personal project is, maybe it's flowers, keep shooting them, you know, because every time you take another photograph of a flower, you're going to get better and better, especially if you look back at the images that you've shot before. But what else was really interesting about this project was, between, you know, what I thought were my favorite images and then what my husband thought were his favorite images and what my editor, Edie, thought were her favorite images, I mean, that was a very, very diverse group. So if you take these 3,000 images, I think it's just amazing at all that we could come up with 150 that we all agreed on. And, you know, I'm sure if you asked Edie, she'd kind of laugh at me at that, because I would always say, but you can't leave that one out because that one's my favorite. And she's like, no, we just put your favorite one in there. Therefore, this cannot be your favorite. And I'm like, but it's my favorite one that's not in there yet.
I love this whole thing because, you know, sometimes photographers are the last person that really knows, you know, what their best shots are. You know? And, you know, I go through this myself. I go, no, you have to put that shot in because, you know, I climbed this mountain and I was attacked by 1,000 bees, and yet I managed to get the exposure just right. And at the last moment, I switched the spot meter and I metered on this area that which really allowed me to hold the shadow area while everything else, and, you know, go on and on and on. And the other person's looking at you, that doesn't make it a great shot. That makes it a great experience. And there's a difference. And sometimes you need that other person to help you find, you know, what your best images are for the general public.
Yes, I would totally agree, because there's been many shots that I've taken that I just think are amazing. And you know, it might be the mood that you're in also when you capture the image. I know for me sometimes it was like, hey, I got that image and I was scared to death. I mean, you don't get thunderheads like that unless there's a lot of turbulence. So, you know, the fact that I could uncurl my knuckles from the armrest and actually wrap them around a camera and look outside, and you know, the plane's moving and you're holding the camera steady, and it's really difficult because you're right in front of the wing, and you know, so many other things go on, like you were saying, and you get the image, and then you realize, you know, 6 months later, it's a really boring image. Yeah, that's, and it can be so depressing, but at least once you realize that it's going to happen, and it will happen, you kind of accept it. And actually, I kind of thrive on the fact that, you know, when I look back at the images that I was taking 5 years ago, I don't think they're as good as the images that I'm taking today. So I decided at one point I can either become all depressed about that and say, oh my gosh, you know, I like the images that I'm shooting now, but I know in 5 years I'm going to think they're no good. Or I can say, hey, you know, I'm progressing. I'm getting better. And I would much rather look at it that way than get all depressed about what I used to shoot.
Well, and what you're describing is much better than what I go through, because I look at images from 5 years ago and I go, man, I was pretty good then. Oh, man, have I lost it? My shots don't seem nearly as good now as they did then. And so I think you're absolutely right. The whole frame of mind thing comes in so much to play with this. And, you know, one of the things that I talk about is that it's really great to have a photo buddy. And because you're right, when you're in the middle of a project, the general world doesn't really care that much. I mean, you know, we're competing with movies and TV and iPods and all this sort of stuff. And to get someone's attention on a project you're working on, the odds are working against you. But if you have a photo buddy, if you have a trusted somebody who will stay engaged with you and give you that other opinion as you're working through this, I think it really helps a lot. So then my question to you is, you know, did you have a photo buddy, and you know, and how does this experience work, or did you have to kind of go it yourself during the middle of the project?
So I wouldn't necessarily say I had a photo buddy, because I kind of think of it a little bit in a different way. Like a photo buddy would be so amazing to actually go out and shoot with. I think right now that helps me so much, is to, you know, because usually at a conference, I'm in a great place at whatever location, like actually located. I get to travel all over the world, but it's getting out to take the pictures after a full day at a conference and being exhausted. That to me is the key time to have a photo buddy, where you both just kind of drag each other out of the hotel room and go, you know, schlep around with your tripod and take some images. I would say I had a great photo editor the entire time, and that would be my husband, Daniel Brown. He was always very upfront with the images that he liked and that he didn't like, which is great, because, you know, didn't always make me happy, but he pointed out some really, really interesting things about my work that I could then focus in on later. So I think there's two. There's one, you know, Daniel was definitely more my aesthetic photo buddy, but then there's also a technical photo buddy. So I think anytime you can go out with someone else, first of all, you'll never take the same picture. So there should be no threat that you're both going to the same location, because even if you tried to copy each other, you couldn't do it because you see things differently. But to have someone there and to actually talk to them and say, so, you know, what are you doing? What are you shooting? You know, I tend to shoot really close up, and so it fascinates me when someone's shooting the entire landscape, whereas I've got a little rock in front of me that I'm taking a picture of. And, you know, they just give you ideas. You can bounce things off. You can, you know, you can double check your equipment with them, and they might have equipment that you don't have, and you can try it out, or you could maybe just think, next time I really want to buy that, and maybe that would help me take the image that I want.
Yeah, I think that dynamic is fabulous, and I agree that it even goes to another level when you both have compatible cameras, so that you can even share lenses and things like that, because, you know, none of us can afford every lens that we want. And so when I went shooting with one of my photo buddies, Ben Long, not too long ago, he has this fabulous 10 to 20 millimeter Canon zoom lens that I've always been sort of lusting after but never had a chance to shoot with it. And of course, you know, right away he said, oh, put it on your camera, and you know, and you're going, my gosh, you know, so suddenly you have a whole new world in front of you, and I took of a series of shots that I wouldn't have got otherwise. So it is a fascinating process. But, you know, getting back to, you know, at the editing standpoint, I do think that you made a good point, which is you know, then when you get that feedback, that's a little different than maybe what you were thinking when you were originally looking at the shot. It's interesting to sort of take that feedback out in the field on the next shoot and say, well, you know, I didn't really see it this way, but I'm getting feedback that people really like it when I do this or that. So I'm gonna mess with them. I'm just gonna try it a little bit more and see if I get the same reaction again. And that's sort of an interesting loop too.
I think it's really interesting, and I think that, again, you can kind of look at it two ways. You know, when your spouse is giving you feedback, you know, sometimes it's a little difficult, and I get very defensive, and I'm like, well, you're not there, and you weren't taking this picture, so, and I really like it, and you have to agree with me on all the images that I like, and that's just not the truth. And it's great that there is a difference there. You know, Daniel likes different things, and that's, it's so helpful, because otherwise I think I would sometimes also get in a rut. And you know, it's amazing what they'll point out, that you've been looking at your images for 5 years or something, and you've never seen something like, okay, here's a good example. So I used to shoot a ton of flower images. I absolutely love them. They're bright, they're colorful, they're a great thing to photograph. And, you know, I would go through, this was just rolls and rolls of film, and I would pull out one or two images from each one, and it wasn't until Daniel said, so tell me something that's common of all of the images that you like. And it was like, oh, it's the lighting. You know, I mean, why wasn't that, how did I fail to see that over, you know, 3 months, and it was so obvious to someone else within just minutes? And so to have somebody to help you see things differently, or to realize to kind of point out the relationship between images and why you might like them or not like them is wonderful.
It is. It's fun. And I think as a photographer on some level, it was you did know the answer to that question. You just hadn't brought it to the surface yet. And I think when you bring it to the surface, then I think that takes it to a new place where you go, well, maybe I want to play with that a little bit more. You kind of get it out on the table so you can do something with it. So these interactions are fascinating. Now, the last thing I want to talk about here is the project itself. You know, and you sort of, as you admit, sort of backed into the window seat project. But as it turned out, it did become a project. It became a book. It became a collection of stuff. You edited out shots. You picked favorites. You wrote about them. Tell me a little bit now how that's affected you as a photographer. You know, if you can go back to thinking, you know, the kind of photographer you were back when you were doing flower shots, let's say, before this project, and the kind of photographer that you are now in terms of skill, in terms of confidence, you know, was there an evolution there, and did the project help that evolution?
Yeah, I think that, well, two things. One, the thing I learned the most was just that if you're interested in something, even if it's a personal project and you think that there may never be a value, because I really did not have an intention to make this into a book, you know, especially not 5 years ago, especially not even 2 years ago. You know, I was like, well, that would be nice, but I'm going to still take these pictures because they mean something to me. And to discover that, to discover that if you pursue something like that, it can really be valuable, I just think is wonderful. The other thing that I learned is, you know, if you take pictures of the same subject, and by this, you know, it's not all the same subject. I'm, you know, shooting different times of day, and sometimes clouds, and sometimes the ground, and all sorts of different things, but still, it's the same basic subject for such an extended period of time. You learn a ton about what you like and what you don't like, and what are the shots that are easy to get, what are the ones that are more difficult. And so your photography is just, it's bound to get better and better just by taking that many images of the same subject.
I really agree. And I think that it'll be curious to see, you know, if you tackle another project in the future, or if, you know, if you just take this enlightenment, you know, in a different direction or whatever. But I think the point that's important to me is that, you know, if you're out there and you're right now listening to this podcast and you're thinking, you know, I feel like I'm on the verge of really becoming the kind of photographer I want to be, but I'm not quite there yet. I think one of the things that can help you get over that hump is to become really engaged engaged in something, really engaged in a project. The thing that I mentioned Ben earlier, my photo buddy, teases me about. He says, you know, you have this unnatural attraction to hanging laundry, you know, and he always, and then so he'll sort of, you know, egg me on. He goes, Derek, look, there's a clothesline over there, and he knows that I can't stay away from it. And you know, who knows? Maybe someday I will do a collection of hanging laundry shots, you know, from all over the world. But the fact of the matter is that when I see that, you know, that I go into a different place, I go into a zone, and suddenly I become a different photographer. So maybe it's something to think about. If you're sort of going, how do I go to that next level? Consider a project and see what happens. Julian, thanks so much for talking with us. The book is Window Seat. It's fabulous. You can find it on Amazon.com. You can go to O'Reilly.com and find it. Take a look at it. And I have a bonus for you guys. Go to the show notes and post a comment about a project that maybe you're considering. And you know, talk a little bit about something that interests you. And let's just get some of those comments on the site. And I have two signed Julianne posters, Clouds posters, and they're absolutely beautiful. So at the end of 2 weeks, I'll do a drawing, and we'll send out posters to two people who submit a comment to the show notes. Thanks a bunch, and I really look forward to seeing what you work on next.
Thank you very much.
Great stuff, wouldn't you say? I just think she's terrific. I really enjoy talking with her, and I like looking at her pictures a lot, and I'm anxious to see what she does in the future, which is going to be interesting. She's taking a little sabbatical, and I think she's going to focus on photography during her time off. So as we mentioned in the podcast, if you'd like a chance to get one of those signed posters, and they're beautiful posters that have a bunch of different plates of the clouds shots from her book, and she signed it. If you'd like a chance to enter a drawing for one of those, all you have to do is post a comment that go with these show notes and talk about a photo project that you're interested in, maybe something that you're working on right now or something that you'd like to work on that might help you develop your photographer's vision, much in the same way that Window Seat helped Julianne develop hers. I think it'd be fascinating to hear the sort of things that people are interested in shooting. I'm looking forward to it. So go over to the site, go over to thedigitalstory.com. Click on the show notes for this show and post a comment. And after 2 weeks, I'll do a drawing and we'll send some of those posters out. In the meantime, go out and take some pictures, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.